May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 910. Oh, that my soul, as heretofore, could with delight and love explore those sacred sweets in Jesus' name that once my raptured soul o'ercame. Hymn 910.
Thank you. let us read the Word of God. May the Lord help us. The Psalm number 21, and also reading in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 4. Psalm number 21. The King shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation, greatly shall he rejoice. Thou hast given him his heart's desire, and hast not withholden the request of his lips, Selah. For thou preventest him with the blessing of goodness. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked life of thee, and thou gavest it him, even length of days, for ever and ever. His glory is great in thy salvation. Honour and majesty hast thou laid upon him, for thou hast made him most blessed for ever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance. For the king trusteth in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High he shall not be moved. Thine hand shall find out all thine enemies. Thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Their fruit shalt thou destroy from the earth, and their seed from among the children of men. For they intended evil against thee. They imagine a mischievous device, which they are not able to perform. Therefore shalt thou make them turn their back when thou shalt make ready thine arrows upon thy strings against the face of them. Be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength, so will we sing and praise thy power. Let us also read, friends, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 4. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it may be made bread, that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. When the devil had ended all the temptations, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bare him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, Is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them, You will surely say unto me, this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also hear in thy country. And he said, Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land, but unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias the prophet, and none of them was cleansed save Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way, and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his words were with power. Thus far we read, friends. May the Lord bless his holy word to us, and may he grant us prayer. Let us pray. O Lord God Almighty, we come before thee now, we seek thee. We seek to gain thine ear, Lord. O thou great God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we seek to come to thee. O to plead and beg of thee that thou wilt come and favour us here in this service, and that we may it be our first concern, Lord, we may have real worship of thee, our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Lord, that we may find grace to help in time of need, to So be given, Lord, a spirit of worship and to praise thee, our God. We might by faith see thee, believe and see, and by grace, the grace is given, we might be benefited for the good of our never-dying souls. Oh, that our hearts may be set on fire with thy holy love. Oh, we might feel the inward burnings of love divine, and we might have kindled in us that real love to thee in return for thy great love to us. Oh, here we trust, we know, and by what thou hast done in us and in thy dealings with us, we trust, we know that thou hast a purpose of love and mercy to many souls. Thy dear people whom thou hast chosen, ere time began, and in the time state they are brought to be brought into these things of the wonders of thy grace. Oh, may there be many here tonight blessed to be favoured and to feel it and feel the favour of it, of the wonders of thy grace, and to be brought to a place where they shall say, why me, O blessed God, why me? You must forever lie in hell were not salvation free. Oh, Lord, why was I made? We cannot think of or come with any description or any explanation, Lord. Why was I made to hear his voice and enter while there's room? Well, thousands make a wretched choice and rather starve than come. But there is an answer, Lord. Oh, we pray we may truly feel and have it. It was thy love, Lord, from everlasting to everlasting. Oh, the amazing wonder of thy favour to thy people, the love of Christ to sinners, the love of God the Father to his children, to make them, bring them to be and acknowledge them as children of the heavenly King. And Lord, oh, we seek now tonight to know and feel more of the wonders of thy grace, the wonders of redeeming love. May there be those that shall be able to say the love of Christ to me. Oh, bless souls here to personally know and feel and taste redeeming love. Lord, oh, come, Lord, and so grant to precious souls they may feed upon thee by faith. They may receive from thy fullness, Lord. Oh, that we may know the favour tonight of being in the house of bread. May it be so, Lord, the house of bread. Oh, Lord, oh, if thou hast in thy sovereign purposes that purpose so to do tonight, to do good in thy good pleasure and design, to feed thy people, bless them, bless thine inheritance, feed them also, and lift them up forever. Oh, Lord, do work here in these ways tonight to the good of precious souls. And as we ask it, we beg it, Lord, that it might be so that we shall witness. It shall be to thy honour and glory. For, Lord, who knoweth how we desire thy favour, Lord, thy people may enjoy salvation full and free. Lord, do grant it. Who knoweth each case, Lord? Who knoweth each peculiar case? Strange it may be with some peculiar. Lord, they do not feel to understand their own cases. But Lord, thou knowest perfectly thy people's cases. Lord, thou hast said, come unto me, all ye that labour and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Help, bless the friends to come to thee. Oh, Lord, draw us, we beg. Oh, draw me, we will run after thee. Lord, oh, do so work, effectually work by the work and operation of the Spirit here tonight, Lord, to do poor sinners good. Lord, to do that in them that is needed. Thou knowest perfectly their cases. Suit thy blessing to them, Lord. May there be the witness of it in days to come. Oh, may there be those things thy people shall have to become in the favour of them, ready to speak. Their tongue, as we would desire it and pray for it, Lord, and personally that the pure instrument here tonight might have the tongue of a ready writer. But Lord, may it be that these dear souls shall have such a tongue. Thy Lord, setting the tongue at liberty, oh, to be as a ready writer, and to know and acknowledge grace poured into their lips. And Lord, as it is, as we know in the context of what we hope to consider tonight, grace is poured into thy lips. This is what the church acknowledges relating to the Son of God. It is what the people of God will be in exercise of too. Oh, the wonderful grace of God. The grace given, grace, saving grace. Oh, grace, the charm in the highest note. It lays in heaven the topmost stone, and well deserves the praise. So set our souls on fire to worship, Lord, tonight, thee, our triune God, and we might feel that wonderful favour of our souls so expanded, and we may sing and glorify thee, our God and Saviour, here tonight. Do grant us the enabling, Lord. Thou knowest each one thus, Lord, and we pray that thy favour may truly be felt, and we may worship thee in spirit and in truth. Lord, do grant it, we beg, and give us that favour of being led into the blessed secrets, favours of the gospel. Oh, the good news of salvation through Jesus the Lamb. Lord, we may fall before thee, the Lamb of God. Oh, Lord, do so come for this. Give us to truly feel, know thy power, see thy glory in the sanctuary. So as we have, we can say we trust, so as we have seen thee in the sanctuary. Everyone said, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Lord, do so bless us tonight. Fill our hearts with gratitude and praise. Oh, help us, Lord, truly to extol thee. Oh, to lift thee very high, our Lord and Saviour. For we know when the Son of God is honoured and praised, the Father is honoured too. Oh, it's all praise to the Holy Trinity of persons. One God blesseth forevermore. So may it be so here tonight. We remember friends who are away, Lord, be with them and bless them where they gather. Oh, Lord, as they may have gathered in the afternoon here, be with them, Lord, bless them. Favour them with a good time of rest and change. Watch over them, keep them safely, Lord, in thy care. And bring them safely home at the appointed planned time. Oh, if it be thy will, Lord, whatever their plans are, Lord, in having made them, we trust in the fear of God. Oh, Lord, may there be a feeling, sense of benefit, Lord, for body, mind and soul, with thy dear people, as they seek rest and change. Oh, Lord, be with thy people who are in affliction. You know, if we think of one and another, we know Deacon of a cause in the south, where we hope to attend in engagement that we have next Lord's Day, if it be thy will. You know, if our dear friend and brother Roy, what he has suffered of late, and his affliction, Lord, and in the hospital where he is, go to him, Lord, and bless him, Lord. May he feel thy presence. Lord, thou knowest, as we have learned, a friend and sister had an operation cancelled, and well, we should say, Lord, postponed. Lord, it should have taken place on Thursday. But Lord, thou knowest how hard these things are. but O do sanctify for good. Thou knowest we think and have thought a number of times with our friends having cancelled operations or postponed, we should say, operations. Lord, how we have been led to say to them, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. When thou, it's thy time, Lord. It's in thy will. So we remember our friends who are waiting operations. Who knoweth, there's two dear handmaids of thine at Clifton awaiting operations. Lord, who knoweth, we think of others too, and others in affliction. Lord, bless them, help them. Oh, give all needed grace. Sanctify these paths and those in sorrow. We continue to remember our dear friend and sister, Mrs. Pond, and our dear friend and sister, Gwen Taylor. Oh, Lord, and their families affected with the sorrow and thy taking the loved ones to thyself. Lord, who knows? We mourn with them, but we rejoice and bless thee for the assurance of those two dear godly ministers taken home to glory. The other ministers, Lord, who are not able to preach, we think of our dear friend nearby here in the nearby cause, Lord, pastor there. Our dear friend, do be with him and do heal him. Dear Lord, do bless me for his healing, Lord. Thou knowest his affliction. We pray for thus our friend, the dear Pastor Fenstanton. Do go to him tonight. And if his loved ones are visiting, bless them. Favour them, Lord. Oh, Lord, that they might find him a little improved, Lord, if it be thy will. Bless the medication and means, Lord. Oh, Lord, that which is really in thy hand, thou who art the good physician, who understandeth all disorders. Oh, we pray thus for our friends and all those we think of in this way. And oh, beg for thy mercy and thy sanctifying goodness. Lord, how every one of us need to know, so know and prove thy sanctifying mercies. Oh, that thou wouldst so bless and favour us to humbly acknowledge thy will. It causes it to come. Lord, how we do have to feel it and know it. And Lord, the wonderful things of the working of him who is perfect in knowledge. Lord, thou knowest the end from the beginning. Thou surely knowest and performest what is best for us. We humbly acknowledge it. Oh, hear us thus too, Lord, for the dear young people, the dear children here. We felt it a sweet privilege to be with the dear children, dear young people this afternoon. And we know as our dear friend and sister was with the younger ones. Lord, do bless them. Oh, may there be found in them, witnessed by dear parents and loved ones, they are working. They're having begun to work, we hope, in some. And oh, we pray thou wilt manifest them as thine vessels of mercy to be fitted for the Master's use. Do bless them, help them, be with them in their school life. Oh, thou knowest the dreadful things of these days, what in our country is put forward and forced forward in a very sad, wrong way. But we know if thou favourest them with grace, they will unlearn all that. They will be able to leave all that. Oh, protect them, watch over them, keep them from these dreadful things, Lord. And oh, help them, Lord, that they might learn humbly and carefully. Oh, if they have thy grace, they shall. Bless them, Lord, we beg thee. And so watch over and keep them, Lord. And in thy time manifest them as thine. This is our heart's desire. Oh, that thou would bless souls, save souls, deal with them in mercy. We might witness it in the church of God. thy work appearing unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. Be with all thy servants, Lord, each of them. Those on the walls of Zion tonight, bless the word preached. Bless souls. Get to thyself the honour and glory due unto thee. May we be first exercised for this, Lord, here tonight, the honour and glory of our God. Lord, oh, as we pray for the blessing of souls, we trust we know by experience that where thou dost bless souls, they will give thee. They will desire to give thee all the glory. So, Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name. This is what we desire, that we may give glory. And for thy mercy, thy wonderful goodness, we ask these things, Lord, still to remember in our country. Oh, Lord, thou knowest all what we carry of burden regarding it. And now we pour it out before thee, much in our secret prayers, as well as at times in our prayerful reading thy word, Lord. And Lord, thou knowest, thy people mourn, sigh and cry for the abominations done in the land. Lord, oh, in this week we are in expectation of the announcement of a new Prime Minister, whoever he will be, whichever it will be. Oh, Lord, make him to fall before thy scepter. Lord, we know that there is that claim of power in our Houses of Parliament, in our government, but Lord, thou art all-powerful. Oh, may the eternal three-in-one his sovereign scepter sway. Oh, Lord, over England and in the Church of God, O Lord, we bow before thee, our sovereign God. We beg these things now, begging much needed help. For Jesus Christ's sake, amen.
Hymn number 545. Truly that poor soul is just, who by faith in Christ can trust, in him live, upon him rest, as the Lord his righteousness. Hymn 545.
as the Lord may help me, friends, I would again direct you to the psalm number 45. And as God may help us, considering a little more the early verses of this psalm, my heart is indicting a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made, touching the King. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Particularly now, this evening, friends, these words, which are really words of address to God, to the Son of God, they were fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and majesty, and in thy majesty ride prosperously, because of truth and meekness and righteousness, and thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Don't know how far we will get, friends, but as you know, I need the Lord to pour in that I might pour out. You know, we haven't got anything really in oneself, only that I do hope I know by experience. But friends, thou art fairer than the children of men. It could be mistakenly thought that these are words regarding mankind and God's people. They are words that God's people will be led into and led to know and understand. But they are words, friends, relating to the Son of God. Thou art fairer than the sons of men. Oh, how he, we know in the song, there is that which the bridegroom speaks of the bride. Thou art all fair, my love, there is no spot in thee. But this is the other way round. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Christ, the Holy One. Oh, the glorious One. The Son of God. Oh, how the psalmist was led to see him in and with the eye of faith and to explain what he felt. Thou art fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Thou art fairer than the sons of men, than children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. That's God as God Jehovah, the eternal God. Oh, in the counsel of Jehovah, how it was agreed that Christ should come to this earth, should be born as he was to be born in that way, separate from sinners. Thou art fairer. He's holy. He's holy, he's undefiled, separate from sinners. In his holy humanity, his holy divinity, joined with his humanity, veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. The psalmist here, he was led into these wonders of Christ. This real man that came here to walk this earth. Oh, thou art fairer. Now to you and to me, friends, to you and to me, what is Christ to you? Is he to you that fairest one, that holy one, that lovely one, the altogether lovely, the chief among 10,000? It's a profound, wonderful truth, isn't it? The psalmist had such a view, such a knowledge of Christ, who he is, what he is, who he would be, when he would come. They looked forward to his coming. Friends, the statement here and the perfection of it, thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. You think of what the Son of God spoke, how he spoke, how he preached his holy ministry. Grace is poured into thy lips. Not that he lacked any grace. He was full of grace and truth. Oh, it wasn't that it had to be poured in because he lacked it, but it's poured for him. He to speak. Oh, is it given to you? It's a lovely theme. It's come to me a number of times when I've been in exercise. Jesus speaks and speaks to thee. Say, poor sinner, lovest thou me? Oh, I delivered thee when bound. You know what a lovely theme it is. And when wounded, heal thy wound. Some of you know it. Short thee wandering, set thee right. Turn thy darkness into light. How God speaks. Jesus speaks to his people. Grace is poured into his lips. Oh, he has these holy, perfect words to speak to his people. Can you acknowledge what he said to you? As he said to you, sinner, I have loved thee. I love thee well, my child, thou art mine. Grace is poured into his lips. The perfect statements of his lips, the perfect words he speaks, what he speaks to his people. Oh, in his ministry, how he ministered, perfect ministry. Come unto me, all ye that labour and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How he spoke to those characters that were in affliction, the blind and the lame, and the deaf, those impotent and those so unable to walk, how he spoke to them. Grace is poured into thy lips. Oh, it is. According to the will of God, according to the purposes, God's sovereign purposes of love and mercy for each one of his people, grace is poured into thy lips. So with you and me here tonight, does this word sit in a way, in our understanding and view? Thou art fairer. You know, thou art fairer than the children of men. Oh, a view and a measure of understanding of the Son of God, who he is. How he is, that one fairer than the sons of men. I mean, really, in us, in all of humanity, there's nothing really, especially in nature, there's nothing fair. There's nothing beautiful. For we're all stained and dyed with sin. And oh, here thou art fairer. But you may have, and you look on the little babes born, and if they have their faculties, and how they appear, how they appear fair, and the way they are in their young days, the beauty of little babe born, and they are to us fair, but we know they're sinners. And in this way, you see, thou art fairer. Every one of humanity are sinners. Every one of humanity are born in sin and shaping in iniquity, but Christ was born, come to this world separate from sinners. Born by that birth, mysterious. It is mysterious to the natural eye and understanding. But oh, profound. And I think of it. Something, when we was up in Manchester last time, a fortnight ago, the dear deacon there is a godly man. And he is one who reads a lot, and he's very interested, especially to read very old sermons. He said he'd been reading a very old sermon. And the minister who had preached that sermon, he was so led to speak of Christ and how Mary held him in her arms. And he said, we tend not to understand it or acknowledge it. She was holding her Saviour. She was holding her babe. The Son of God, Jesus Christ. Babe born in Bethlehem, laid in the manger. She, the mother of Jesus. But he said, the minister said, she was holding her Saviour. And She was holding that one who was to suffer, bleed and die in her room place instead. Oh, friends, how profoundly she spoke of how she, and it's acknowledged how she kept all these things, pondered them in her heart. But oh, then we know the time came when the Lord was on that cross of Calvary, and there stood those three Marys there before the cross, one of them his own mother. And he said to his mother from the cross, he said, "Woman, behold thy son." Think of it, friends. Oh, but does the Lord give us to behold him, to see him? Oh, to see him, the holy, lovely one, the holy one, but so brought to that time according to the holy appointment and will of God, when he laid down his life, when he suffered on the cross, bled and died for his people. Oh, have you been led to the cross to see him, that one hanging on the tree in agony and blood? Oh, have you had a view of him looking to you, fixing his languid eyes on you? Oh, friends, this one, the Son of God, grace is poured into his lips. Oh, it was so much. It was wonderfully witnessed many times, many people. And oh, how was these words of the psalmist were fulfilled and have been fulfilled? Have they been fulfilled regarding you and me? Oh, has that wonderful grace that was poured into his lips been applied to us, been given us to so know and believe it was for us he spoke? His holy ministry, which of course was continued in the way as the apostles were anointed for the ministry, but never man spake like this man. We all come so short in preaching the gospel. He preached perfectly the gospel. The Son of God, grace is poured into thy lips. How profound it is, friends, that the psalmist, all these hundreds of years before Christ, was giving utterance to these words, grace is poured into thy lips. And there it says too, grace is poured into thy lips, therefore God hath blessed thee forever. And that is in the counsel of Jehovah, the covenant of grace, the Son of God. In this way, God hath blessed thee forever. But can it be applied to you and to me? God hath blessed thee forever. As God the Father blessed his dear Son forever and ever, giving all things in his hand to attend to and accomplish. Oh, is it that in this perfect will of God, we are blessed? Are we blessed? Are we blessed to know and taste redeeming love? Have we the experience of it, some of us? Are you that have not received it, experienced it yet? Are you seeking it? Are you earnestly seeking it? It is all in Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There is no other name, none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Oh, is he precious to you? Is he your only hope, your transport and your trust? Oh, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore, God hath blessed thee forever. Blessed he is of his Father. His Father having given him his children, those given to Christ. It's a profound and wonderful truth that in the covenant of grace the agreement was such that as the Holy Trinity had so chose a people, they were given to Christ. And I believe it's right to acknowledge that every child of God was given to Christ by God the Father to come to this earth to redeem. Oh, what grace poured into God's lips. How God hath blessed the Son of God forever in this way. in the holy, perfect oneness and agreement and way of God in so ordering everything for the good of precious souls. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty. Some of us have got in our families loved ones who go their way, headlong urge them our career. I know there's been those who've been brought up here who've gone their way. And there are those of you who continue, you dear young people, attending the means of grace. Of course, we are thankful for that and would ever advise that dear young people growing up might not forsake the attending the means of grace. Oh, I did not forsake it, although I sported with death in my pursuit of sport. But, you know, it's a favour to be kept to come into the house of God. But let me be clear, that will not save you. That will not save you, good as it is. Oh, you need, and God will do it. If he loves you, he will, as it says here, as the word is to ward this in the way God works, gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty. This is the sword, the way God works to begin, especially to deal with stout rebels. And the stoutest rebel must resign at God's commanding word. And those of us who have loved ones that are going their own way, is that God will gird his sword upon his thigh for them and to pierce them with a blood-dipped dart, as it were, or the sword of the Spirit. In this way, gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty. He's the most mighty, and mighty to save is Christ the Lamb. Friends, you know, if you're a person here tonight in the house of God, and if it is solemnly so with you that you think, well, I spend the time of the service and, well, thinking of when it will be over and not really interested, oh, what we pray, those of us who fear God, that the Lord will gird his sword upon his thigh, he who is most mighty, and that he will pierce you with that way of his piercing of the heart and opening the heart and causing you to consider. You know, there is another word similar to this. God's arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under him. This is what we pray for. Those of us who are burdened with exercise of souls, we pray the Lord will work in this way. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty, unto the good, the blessing, the saving of souls, the bringing of precious souls to solemnly know what they are and where they are. For as we would acknowledge now, that it is so important, friends, that each of us, you and me, might be brought to know what we are and where we are, what we are as solemn characters, guilty, hell-deserving sinners. Oh, if God so girds his sword upon his thigh, has he done it for us? Has he done it for you? Has he pierced you through and through in this way? Has he made you concerned in this way about your never-dying soul and about eternity? Any here who are unconcerned, our prayer is for you that God would gird his sword upon his thigh, he who is most mighty, and that he would deal with you. Because if you keep going on in a state of carelessness and live your life and come to the end of your life in a state of carelessness and unconcern about your never dying soul, you're going to be cast into hell. I must tell you this. There's no other way. The outcome and result, as it were, of one's careless life will land us in hell forever. with the damned. But oh, as I said this morning, in the wonderful good matter is God's salvation for sinners. And oh, his way of performing it, working it, and effecting it, as he girds his sword upon his thigh and he works and he comes and he deals with sinners and he quickens them into life. He pierces them through and through, makes them feel the pain and guilt of sin, convicts and convinces them of sin. Convince, we pray for this, desiring it, knowing it's what is needed. Convince us of our sin, then lead to Jesus' blood. To our wandering view, reveal the secret love of God. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty, and in thy majesty ride prosperously. That's what we seek, prosperity, real prosperity. God so working, prospering his work, doing his work, in wretched sinners, making them know what they are, making them sensible of their sin, making them to come into the reality of real repentance of sin, to know their need of the Lord to so save them from their sin. It's sin, it's when sin is really felt, felt the pain and guilt of it, that such characters will then cry out unclean like the lepers did, cry out, God be merciful to me, the sinner. And oh, this is how and when and where they are to be brought to for the Lord to come and bless them, favour them to know his love, to know forgiveness of sin, to know pardon and peace through the blood of the Lamb. The way of God dealing with souls, saving souls from sin and death and hell. You know, under this teaching, under this effectual working of the Spirit, the way of Christ is his ministry and his work, his person and work. You know, the reality of it will be especially blessedly known as souls are brought to know and taste redeeming love. When God has his perfect purposes, he leads his people to that point and time and experience when they are to be blessed to know and taste redeeming love. It's sinners that will then be readily saying, and none but they, how precious is the Saviour. He'll be made so precious to his people. Oh, how precious he is to his people. Oh, how needful he is. Jesus is the one thing needful. You brought to that. There are those of you who are in it. I know you're in it. The Holy Spirit seems to give me the real feeling of it, that there are those of you. He is so precious to you. He's so needful to you. And you've been brought to begin to love him. You know, it's not us love the Lord first. It's we love him because he first loved us. And when the favours of God's grace, as grace is poured into his lips and into the ministry of the gospel, there'll be the preaching of grace. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And you really feel the need to know your interest in this wonderful saving grace of Christ, this wonderful salvation. If God loves you, he'll bring you to really feel your need of it, really feel your need of an interest in the Saviour's blood. Oh, are you in this? Is this the favour you're in, what you're brought into by the work of the Spirit, that he is so precious, so needful? And there is those that have had taste, sips from the wells of salvation, token of his love. I have to come to points at times in preaching where, you know, as I've come now to think of it, you know, what I must speak to you is upon the ground of one's own experience. The Lord did bless me and bring me after being under solemn conviction for some long time. He brought me to be raised to a hope in Christ, then with so much being more and more made precious. I wanted to know more of him. I wanted to hear his voice. I wanted to see him by faith. And prayer was, I trust in earnestness, I know it was, that God would bless me. He would favour me. Now, if you're really after salvation, if you really need salvation, there will be this acknowledgement and this will be given you to feel that what he has done already for you is very, very wonderful and precious. Are you neglecting to acknowledge that? I believe it was given to me to desire, though I didn't outwardly, but to desire to, as it were, give to my Saviour his rightful praise in thanking him for tokens of his love. But the favour that the Spirit worked in me was to make me earnest for forgiveness, to know forgiveness, to know pardon. The tokens were blessed, intimations of his love, but I wanted to know and taste redeeming love. Now, are you, any of you, like that tonight? And in earnestness for it, you know, this is what I believe is in this word. Have the Lord riding prosperously. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, and in thy glory, and thy with thy glory and thy majesty, and in thy majesty ride prosperously, because of truth and meekness and righteousness. This is all what is in Christ, truth and meekness and righteousness. Oh, there was never one so meek. You know, Moses was a man meek, but you know, he was a type of Christ, in a sense, in that meekness he was. But friends, you see here, it's the Son of God himself. In thy majesty ride prosperously. I believe this is God working, the Holy Spirit working, and the Lord doing his work in souls, riding prosperously in the purposes of God's love and mercy in the church of God, for the blessing of souls, the benefit of souls, and for God's glory in the way of it, the causing of the people to render praise, honour and glory to God. In thy majesty ride prosperously, because of truth and meekness and righteousness, and thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things, and the things that will be taught us, and as the Lord knows perfectly, and how he works and he brings his people to so know his blessing and favour. The terrible things are, as we are led so solemnly to view Christ suffering in our place, see what sin has done. Oh, to look on him whom we pierced and mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son. Friends, these are the terrible things that were laid upon Christ, what he suffered. Oh, here he suffered the just for the unjust to bring his people to God. And friends, particularly the way of the Spirit working and riding prosperously in the church of God, dealing with souls, saving souls. Oh, these wonders of God's grace, wonders, the saving grace of God. Are we witnessing it? Do you witness it here in Swavesey Chapel? The Lord riding prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness. Yeah, he will be. He does do. And he will be. He has been. And we're looking for him to more do and appear and to give witness of him riding prosperously and because of truth and meekness. The truth on the two sides of the truth. Sin and salvation. souls that are born dead in sin but born of the Spirit. Lost souls, I think of the theme we sing at Christmas time, lost souls to recover and form them afresh, our wonderful lover took flesh of our flesh, from sin to release us, that yoke so long worn, the Lord our Saviour, in the way of it, when winter was born, whether it was winter or not, we're not sure. But friends, see, wonders of the coming into this world of the Son of God. Oh, here he come, born, his sacred humanity, and here the favours of that, of the Spirit, so giving the child of God to know the truth. In thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness. The truth as it is in Jesus, that he, the Son of God, took upon him human nature, separate from sinners. Oh, his holy divinity was brought to be in indissoluble union with his humanity. And oh, how he lived here those years, went about doing good, and what he went about doing good toward going to Jerusalem, there to suffer, bleed, and die. Friends, the great point in it all, do you know your interest in the Saviour's blood, your pardon, sign, and peace with God? I would, in humble, I hope, right way, speak to you like this. If you do not know your pardon, sign, and peace with God, what you should be doing is earnestly seeking to know it. Is earnestly seeking the Lord's, and that you say, well, I can't do it myself, but is it not that the urgency of your case causes you to be in this need, in the reality of soul trouble? I believe you'll pour out your heart to God if you're really in a reality of soul trouble. Oh, it's these that are brought to really know their danger, something I pray for my loved ones each day, try to pray in this way with similar words. Oh, that God would show them, teach them, give them to know and feel their danger, and then show them their refuge too. Yeah, it's this way God works grace, when the tribes redeemed by blood are brought to know themselves and God. They are, and you have to be. God works, he writes prosperously in working like this, in sinners, to save them from sin and death and hell. He works in these ways, friends. Oh, to save. He's able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him. Yes. So these words, friends, as I understand them, as God, I hope, has opened them up a little. In thy majesty, ride prosperously. We pray for this in the cause here, that God would in his majesty ride prosperously because of truth. You have the servants of God coming, preaching the truth as it is in Jesus, and meekness and righteousness. And this is great and high in importance, and righteous, because of righteousness. Because of the righteousness Christ has wrought out and brought in for the church. Oh, upon this grounds, God's people shall be accepted in God's beloved Son. Oh, the favour to so have the proof of it, the seal of it by the Spirit, the blessing of imputed righteousness. Oh, that God's people shall so be clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Yes, it's that completeness of the remedy we need. We need forgiveness, we need pardon, we need the blood of Christ applied to us. It's supplied by faith. You know, we've been singing of faith both this morning and this evening. And oh, how this is so with every child of God, that the Holy Spirit works to apply the remedy for sin. It's faith in the bleeding lamb. This is a great gift, the greatest gift. What a gift this is. Oh, faith. Faith to believe in him. Faith to receive that full remission of sin. Oh, this is what we are and have to preach, that there is this wonderful forgiveness, remission of sin in and through the shed blood of Christ. And oh, the Holy Spirit applies the remedy. Faith puts on the holy royal robe of righteousness too. Faith, every blessing and favour God's people know is by faith. Faith is the brightest evidence. It's the true evidence. It is indeed. And so, because of truth and meekness and righteousness, because of truth and meekness and righteousness, and as everything of this in Jesus Christ, oh, he is this. He is the Lord, our righteousness. Everything he spoke was of holy truth, perfect language, holy ministry, oh, truth and meekness, and his meekness, his humility, oh, his being given and so willing to humble himself, humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Think of it there, we read of it in Isaiah 53, man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Oh, friends, so we see his meekness, his submitting to what was in the perfect will of God Jehovah, he being equally involved in the agreement and covenant. Oh, because of truth and meekness and righteousness, but his righteousness that he wrought here, a holy royal robe for his people. Oh, this is what you need, poor soul, and I need, to be so effectually dealt with by God. God showing us, giving us solemnly to be aware of and to know that all our garments are filthy garments. Oh, to know a need and not to know and experience this stripping away of our fig leaf righteousness, and that the righteousness of Christ might be, as it were, given to us, imputed to us. We receive it. We have it as that garment to adorn our naked souls. Further down in the psalm, we have the words relating to the king's daughter. And it states, it's all glorious within, and she shall be brought before the king in raiment of needlework. This is the righteousness of Christ. Oh, his holy royal righteousness, which he wrought out in his life, keeping the whole law of God, and thus bringing in everlasting righteousness for the church. Oh, that God would ride through Swavesey Chapel in this way prosperously, because of truth, that which is upon the grounds of the will of God, upon the covenant of grace, right, prosperously, and because of truth and meekness and righteousness, and thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thy right hand, God's right hand, and his people at his right hand. Oh, they will be taught these things, they will be revealed to them, the terrible things, but the blessed things, the wonderful things, the wonders of redeeming love, the love of Christ to sinners, the love of Christ to you. May the Spirit apply to one and another of you, so that you so believe and receive these wonderful favours. The further words here, which I have quoted, thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Well, you know, we will, I believe, really be made to willingly and solemnly acknowledge we were the king's enemies. I was. I sported with death. I thought I was safe and wouldn't die and wouldn't hurt myself. And you know, Jesus was as a root out of a dry ground. And in the sense of the way of where people warned me, I didn't take the warnings. I was as the king's enemy. Enemy to the truth, didn't want to know the truth, didn't want to bow to the truth. But oh, how wonderfully it was with me. It was the words of one of God's dear godly servants. The words, arrows, thine arrows, God's arrows, sharp in the hearts of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Oh, they fall under the words of the Son of God. I had to fall under the words of a godly minister. They were as an arrow into my heart. And oh, that experience, in that way, God wrought such a change in one. Changed my heart, renewed my will, turned my feet to Zion's hill. You know, I look back to it now, and it's so solemnly humbling. He saw me ruined in the fall, yet loved me notwithstanding all. He saved me from my lost estate, his loving kindness, however great. And initially, firstly, in the experience of it, he saved me from my lost estate by causing his arrows to be sharp in the heart of the king's enemy. I was a king's enemy, but his arrows were sharp. And whereby the people fall under thee, we had to fall under it, fall down in weakness and in fearfulness. And this is how God, in girding his sword upon his thigh and riding prosperously, works. And he does the first work in his people, and they are thus born of the Spirit, the Lord effectually calling them out of nature's darkness into his marvellous light. Thine arrows are sharp. Oh, wonderful. It's the work of the Spirit. The work of the Spirit making sinners need Jesus. Making them know their state and condition. Making them know what wretched sinners they are. But making them know and come to the time of God's appointment for them, where they must know and taste redeeming love. The wonderful way of God in saving souls, beginning his work and carrying it on and effectually dealing with them to so make them what he is sovereignly determined they must be. You know, when we think of what vile rebels we were and what he has done for us, and how we love him now, how we're brought to love him more and more and praise him more and more. Oh, there are those of us here who have been. You would not want to deny what he's done for you, some of you. And we speak of this publicly as we're led to. And God uses our poor testimonies sometimes and blesses others. This is what I desire here, friends. What I may testify, I hope I don't weary you, what I testify myself. It's not that we want to keep speaking of ourselves. We don't want to boast at all of these things in a wrong way. But oh, these wonders of God's working, his way of working in souls, dealing with souls, the Holy Spirit sounding an alarm, the servants of God sounding an alarm in God's holy mountain. The alarm is so important. God's people may seek to be prepared for that great day. For if we're not prepared here in time, come to the end of our lives, we shall then be cast away. But God prepares his people. They are made to be a prepared people for a prepared place in heaven. This is the wonderful grace of God, the favour of God. So, friends, I hope I can still say, though in parts here some is too deep for us, but how I hope I can say, my heart is indicted in a good manner, friends. I speak of the things which I have made touching the King. And you know, it's these things that King Jesus, who, as we talked a little to the dear young people this afternoon, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, how he is that, because people know him as such. And he is their all and in all. And friends, we might be able to go on preaching the word. I think of a sermon I heard just before we were married. It was dear Mr. Wood preaching at Haynes, and his text was, "Preach in peace, by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That, I hope, is my theme, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. Is he thy Lord? Is he your Lord? Your Lord and your God. Oh, and is it given to you to want to live to his praise? May the Lord give you. You that have had the favours of his love, tokens of his love and further blessings, may the Lord give you to be able to feel this favour of your heart indicted in a good matter, tongue made as a pen of a ready writer to speak of what he's done for you, to tell of his wondrous faithfulness and sound his name abroad. Oh, may this be your favour and that which will bring joy, holy joy, here to be acknowledged of what the Lord has done again in blessing souls here. The Lord knows what his will is, his purpose is. Here among you at Swavesey, we wait upon him for it, watching and waiting for those favours yet to appear of God, how God has worked and blessed souls. May he add his blessing. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £695, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Timothy Rosier will preach on Tuesday evening, and next Lord's Day there will be reading services, as Mr. James Pack is unable to come through his affliction. Let us close with hymn 558. Sweet the name of Christ must be, from and to eternity. For it pleased the Father well, fullness all in Christ should dwell. Hymn 558.
Dear Lord, oh, thou knowest that is it, what thou didst go through for us. Oh, may this go greatly, deeply humble us. Oh, may we fall before thee, and Lord, thy love name, ascribing all the glory unto thee, the Lamb of God. May, Lord, we be favoured and led on in the way. Keep us, Lord. Oh, we might not grieve thee. Help us to live to thy praise. Lead us on, lead us in the way everlasting. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us now and evermore. Amen.